All right, so we're starting on Chafei Amud Aleph by the two dots. And we're going to talk about the last line in the Mishnah. The last line in the Mishnah yesterday discussed, Yeter Mikain, Amar Lavlar, he tells the sofer, Kotov Tov, Le'ezo She'erze, write a get, I have two wives that have the same name, write the get to whichever one I want, you know, and I'll decide that, right? And then, a garish, the Mishnah says, puzzle the garish, but he may not use such a get. So now, Bomine Rav Hoshea mi Rav Yehuda. So Rav Hoshea asked Rav Yehuda, Amlar the Lavlar. He said to the sofer, Tov the Ezu should tetse be petach tchila. Right? Write the get to whoever walks out of the door first. It's like a yiftach sort of situation. He has two wives, same name. He writes a get and he says, whichever one comes out of the door first, this get will belong to them. Samahu, what's the din with such a get? Samalei, Tanitua. That's our Mishnah. Right? Yeter mikain amar lelavlar. Tov lezer she'erze garesh. Pasul the garesh bo. Alma ein breira. Right? So our Mishnah, our conclusion from that last line in the Mishnah is what we said yesterday, is that there is no breira by gitin. If there's no breira by gitin, then the same is true in the case that you just asked about. So etave. So Ravoshia said back to Rav Yehuda, is that really true that there is no such thing, there ain't Breira? Ha'omer Levanov, Hareini Shochet the Pesach al Mishi Alem Yikem Rishon Yerushalayim. I will shech the Pesach on the first one of you that reaches Yerushalayim. Kevin Shenichnas Rishon Rosh Avarubo, the first one to get in there, Rosh Avarubo, Zocha Bechelko, Zocha in his portion, Mezaket Achevimo, and he will be Mezaket his brothers along with him. So the Gemara is going to explain this. We've seen this before, the case in the Darim. So Amalei Oshia Bri said to Ma'inyan Pesachim Etel Gitin. How could you compare the case of Pesach to Gitin? That case by the Korban Pesach is a unique case. Ha'itmar La. We already learned about this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. G'day L'zarzan B'mitzvot. The whole purpose of what the father did was not to really create a race between them, and then it'll be Huvrar Davar that will clarify later on who was the one who was chosen to be the chelik or nimna on the Pesach, but rather this was the mezaris, the children, to get up there fast. This is the dekanami. You can be medayik from the quote that we just brought before. Diktani came in shenichnas rishon rosh ruba zocha bechelko umezaket echavimo. So he's zocha in his chelik and he's mezake his brothers. So iamar pishlamo the amnin hu mikoro. Right, if they were all on the Pesach, belong to the Pesach from the beginning, shapir. If the father did not already place them on the Pesach or join them into the Pesach, how could he, after Shechita, appoint them to be a part of the Pesach? We have a Mishnah that says explicitly, so that you can join a Chabura for the Korban Pesach or leave a Chabura, right, until the time that the animal is Shechted. So if that's the case, and only until the point where the animal shechted is that someone can join a chabura, be removed from a chabura, how could the father set up a race by which the children will get up there and they'll be zocha and the chelek only when they get up there? The animal, the pesach's already shechted, and now what he's going to say, how does he appoint them? How does he put them onto the pesach or join them to the chabura? Ella, what you have to say is that the father joined all of them to the chabura up front. And the whole ploy here was a way to get the children to race or to be mezaris b'mitzvot, but not that there's literally a halachic breira that takes place when the first one reaches Yerushalayim, and then he becomes a part of the Korban Pesach. When it says Tanya Ami Ochi, we have a similar breisa that supports this understanding. Ma'asev ikadmu banot lebanim. There's a time where the girls got there first. V'nimtzu banot zrizot lebanim shvelim. And we found that the girls were, you know, zaris, right? They were zarizim in their mitzvot, or got up there fast, and the boys were right lazy or unable to be zarizim. So the conclusion of that braisa is not that the banot got the chelik in the Korban Pesach and not the banim, but rather they all got a chelik, just that the banot were known as the zarizim, or zrizot, and the banim were known as the shvalim, or shvalim. So that you see from that there's no halachic breira that's taking place when they reached there, that everybody was included in the Pesach. This was just, again, a ploy by the father to get the kids to come out faster. If you remember, the Gemara in Nedarim, when it brings this case down, solves the problem by saying instead of bringing this Mishnah that says you can't join or leave a chabura until shechita, there the Gemara says sedavet avot. That problem with sedavet avot is lav d'oraitahi. It's not min haTorah. The fact that you have to be nimna on the Pesach is only a rabbinic requirement and not a d'oraisa requirement. And that's how the Gemara in Nedarim solves that. And the Ran there has a big chiddush. Remember, the Ran has a big chiddush over there that only people who have to be nimna on a Pesach is someone who's ra'ui l'korban Pesach. So therefore, ketanim, who are not necessarily ra'ui l'korban Pesach, do not need to be nitmana. They can just join the korban Pesach whenever they want to leave, because they are not, the only people who require minui on the korban Pesach are people who are obligated to eat the korban Pesach. But anyway, so Tosfos points it out also over here that the Gemara in the Nedarim is different. And our Gemara is according to the one, or the Sugya the Hachi is Iri, if you think Sei Levet Avot is Deoraisa. If you believe Minoi ala Korban Pesach is Deoraisa, how do you solve the problem? So you solve the problem by saying that that they were always Nimne, the father put them all onto the Korban Pesach, and this whole ploy was to create a Zrizus, as opposed to the solution in the Gemara in the Nedarim, which says that Sei Levet Avot is only Derabonon and not Deoraisa. So now, the Gemara says, well, let's look at the way this conversation took place between Rav Oshia and Rav Yehuda. Amar Abaye, Kabay Mine Tole B'Data Cherim. Rav Oshia's question came up in a case of Breira, where the outcome was dependent on others. Why is that? Because when the husband went ahead and said the get, he says whichever woman walks out of the house first, right, that's out of his control. So that's a Breira. Betola b'data cherim, where other people are in control. Ve'kal poshitle, and Rav Yehuda answers him from our Mishnah, which is tola b'data atzmo, which is where he controls the outcome of the breira. He says in our Mishnah, whichever wife I want to give it to, that's the wife, that's the one that I intended it for originally. Right? V'hadar motivle, and then the question from Psachim is again a case, tola b'data cherim, has to do with others, meaning that the father leaves it out of his control, again. In the case of Breira there, is that the kids run up, and whichever kid gets there first is the one who's going to be Manui on the Korban Pesach, according to the Havamin of how we understood that Breisa. So it seems to be that Rav Yehuda is giving an answer of Oshia that is, right, inconsistent with the case. Now he asked me, what's the difference between Tola B'Data Atzma and Tola B'Data Cherim? So Rashi over here gives a nice definition. If you look down in the Rashi, it's in the narrow lines towards the bottom, six lines up in the narrow lines of Rashi, from where the narrow lines of Rashi end, it says Dilma Tole. So Dilma Tole B'dat Atzmo Leitlan Breira. There's a possibility by when you're still in control of the outcome of the situation, that will not be considered Breira. Why? Mid'atne Bereisha, the fact that you make a condition to the outcome, Gila B'dato She'a Poseach Al Shnei HaSi'ipim, that you are hedging, right? The fact that the husband says, write the get for the woman and I'll decide which wife it is, that doesn't mean that he really knows which wife he's going to give it to and that he'll just make the determination later. Sounds like he doesn't know which wife he's going to give it to and he's really hedging his bets and says, just write it and I'll decide later which wife it is. That's the case. It's not really Huvra Darvar, right? There's no Breira here. He's really Bisofek. As opposed to, in the case, if you go, Velekele Meimar Huvra Demikara Datu Lehai. Can't say that now we clarify that's what his original intent was. No, his original intent was he was besuffic. Now he clarified later on, he decided who would it be. But that's not what he really felt when he wrote the get. Avazeh shetala ba'acherim. Once you put something into the hands of others, gamar bedate mi'kara le'ezo shetetze. Right? If that's already, you have a gemir sadas, once something leaves your control, you have a gemir sadas that whatever the outcome is, that's what you wanted now. Because you can't control it. If you can't control it, there's a possibility that Breira should apply there, and not by the case of Tola B'Dat Atzmo. We have a similar type of situation. My brother-in-law pointed out to me, we have a similar type of situation by Asmachta Kanya and Asmachta Lo Kanya. But we say there that the Gemara discusses whether an Asmachta is right a good Kenyan, because do you have Gemara Sadat or not. There, the Gemara, or the Achron, the Poskim make the same differentiation between Tola B'Dat Atzmo and Tola B'Dat Acherim, which is considered more Gemir Sadas for Asmachta Kanya or Asmachta Lo Kanya. Meaning that if you're betting on something, right, you're putting a wager, you're taking something that is out of your control, right, do you have more Gemir Sadas there to be Machna the money because it's out of your control? Or do you have more Gemir Sadas right, to be Mac the money when it's told about that's when I can control the outcome, if I'm racing, if I'm the one who's going to determine the outcome of the situation. So you have a similar idea by Asmachta that relinquishing control might actually enhance the Gemira Tadat. Right? So it's over here. Your relinquishing of control over the outcomes might be a bigger Gemira Tadat that you really believe that whatever the outcome is, that's what you feel today. Whereas if you retain control, retaining the control might be because you are in doubt. And later on when you make the decision, it's that you made the decision prospectively, not that's what you really intended originally. So now, Amar Rava, my kushya. Rava says, Abaye, I don't know why you have a good question here. Maybe, Dilma demandit le breira, whoever holds a breira, loshna tolu b'adat atzmo, loshna tolu b'adat acherim. Maybe we're indifferent between whether he relinquishes control or not. Right? It's le breira. No matter what, he'll have breira. Something like akin to what you're saying, Shaul. That in the end, there's not total Gemira Tadat, maybe more Gemira Tadat, but still not total Gemira Tadat. Umanda let lay Breira, and the one who doesn't hold the Breira, Loshna Tola Badat Atzmo, Loshna Tola Badat Acherim, let lay Breira. That might be that the Tola Badat Atzmo, Tola Badat Acherim, is irrelevant with regards to the Machlokas in Breira, is lay Breira or ain't lay Breira. If that's the case, then Rav Yehuda's response to Rav Oshia was a good response. So I'm going to lay Rav Misharshia, the Rav, I don't think you're right here. Why? Because we have Tanoim that clearly differentiate in this area. V'ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Tola B'tat Atzmo Le Breira. When it comes to where he does not relinquish control, he says there's no Breira. V'tola B'tat Acherim, but if he does relinquish control, then it's Le Breira. He does hold of Breira. So we see you have a Tana like Rabbi Yehuda who makes such a differentiation. What's the case? Where's the case where he's still in control, where he says there's no Breira? Titania, we have a Breiza, Tosefta. It's a famous Tosefta. It's brought down many times in Shas. Alokeach Yain mi ben hakutim. Someone who purchases wine from the kutim. So everybody, the Rishonim point out here, Rashi, Tosas all point out, this is Kodem HaGzeira. This is before the kutim were decided, or the Kamri, you know, out of the picture that they were over to Avodah Zarah. So they're still qualified to buy wine from them, and we could trust them. That's number one. Number two is, Tosos points out here, interesting enough, that even after the fact that they were gozer on Stam Yenam, they were not gozer on Yain Kutim. And Tosos differentiates between, even though they don't, they're not totally, even if you believe Geri Arayotim, even if you believe that they were not Geri Amet, real converts, nevertheless, you would differentiate between them and Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Because they are, this is the Tosfos says here, Mikomakom Kemiship Porshim Avodah Zarah. They separate themselves from Avodah Zarah. Yoter Mishar Ovdei Kochavim. Umachzikim B'Torah Shebichtav. And they also hold of the Torah Shebichtav. V'gam Elohim Enum Ovdim Kamosha Yosim B'Bayit Rishon. And they gave up that Avodah Zarah, that God that they used to worship. Right? So therefore, they were only gozer on Yain of Ovdei Kochavim and not of Kutim, which is a very interesting differentiation. Throughout the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, Tosfos makes some of these differentiations that maybe today, the modern-day non-Jew does not qualify to be under the gzeira of Stam Yena. That may be that it's only applicable to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And you'd have to actually qualify to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah and then to be under that gzeira. This is akin to that, what Tosfos is saying over here, that the Kutim, even though they may be Ger Arayot, they're not really Jewish, nevertheless, they might have a different status than Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So now here, this person purchases Lokeach Yami Ben Akutim. Rashi says the problem here is that he doesn't have any buckets or any kalim to put in to be mafish the chumas and maestros here. If you go, I looked in the Tosefta. If you look up the Tosefta, it's a problem of Shabbos. It's on Shabbos, and therefore he can't be mafish chumas and maestros on Shabbos. That's what the Tosefta says, and Tosos hints to that on the next Amud. So Omer, so what does he do now? He has this yain, he wants to use it. So what does he must do? Omer, shnei lugim shani atid afrish, the two lug that I'm going to take off in the future, the Harihain Truma, they'll be the Truma Gdola, which is 2 out of 100, right? Which is basically if the 2%, right? The 1/50th that we use for Truma Benoni, right? Asara, the 10 that I take off in the future, Maiser Rishon, will be Maiser Rishon. Tisha, and then the 9 I take off will be Maiser Sheni. So Tosfos points out over here that what must be Lav Dafka here, right? Because if you already took off the 2 for Truma Gdola, right, then the remaining is only 98. So then what you have to take off for Meiser would only be 9.8 lugim and not 10 lugim. That's what Tosfos says, lav dafka. But Tosfos gives another answer about this. It's a tremendous chiddush in Tosfos. It has huge implications. If you look in the wide lines in Tosfos, it's the second wide line in Tosfos. He says, "V'yesh mefarshim, then a maaser mitma'et mishum truma gedola," that you don't get to deduct truma gedola from your count for maaser. Kevin dechita achat poteret et kiri. Since midoraisa truma can be even the smallest amount, therefore anything you give in excess of what the requirement is midoraisa, that does not get deducted from your maaser. So it's like the equivalent. Your local taxes or your state taxes do not get deducted from your federal taxes. The same thing here. Just because you took off more truma than you needed to, we're not going to allow you to deduct that from the maaseros. That's still chayv in maaseros, and you're going to have to give maaser on the whole amount. And therefore, the Tosfos says that that 10 is exact and not a lav dafka. It's a big, big chiddush. Has big implications, really, in terms of how much maaser you must take off from a from something that's required to have chumos and maaser removed from it. All right, then you. No, because today when we're mafresh, we're mafresh chuma. We take off the smallest amount for chuma. We don't take off the full 2% for chuma. Since we're going to throw it out anyway, we don't take off the full 2%, so then whatever we take off is a minimum amount for the truma. Yeah, because they had to give, the chachamim required either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, so it was 2% was taken off for the truma gedola, which we don't do today. We just take off a minimal amount for the truma. So anyway, today it would be that way. The maestros that you take off would literally be 10%, because you're only taking off. You're doing chita achat, poter tekeri. You're literally doing up here to oraisa. Okay, so now you take off the truma, the asar for ma'aser rishon, and the tisha for the ma'aser sheni. Now Tosfos points out of here, this is kutim are different than demai. Because in demai, we learned at the end of the Gemara in Sota, that demai, that the Amei Aretz were believed that they took off truma. So for demai, you didn't have to take off truma gedol anymore. You just had to take off ma'aser rishon and you had to get to truma to ma'aser. But when it came to the kutim, you have to take off the full amount. You have to take off even truma gedola. So why are the kutim different than the Amei Aretz? Right. So that's one is. So Rashi points out over here that what hein chashudin ala maisrot, that they're chashudin ala maisrot vala truma v'lo kamei aretz, and not like the Amei Aretz shiruban masrin, that their rove are maser kulan mafshin truma, and everybody takes off truma. About kutim chashudim ala kol, kutim are suspect on everything, truma and maiser. Rashi doesn't give the reason why they're suspect on these issues. Tosfos points out, or just point out in other places, that the kutim did not hold of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Right? They didn't hold of lifnei iver lo titen michshol, so they did not worry about causing other people to be over on a mitzvah. If they were to be mafresh for themselves, they'd be mafresh kedas v'din, because they hold anything that's written explicitly in the Torah, they did. So if they were eating it themselves, they would have taken off chumas and maisers. But when they gave it to, sold it to someone else, that they didn't care about, they didn't worry about it. So if you look in the Tosfos is 2, 4, 5 lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line, last three words on the line, avalim kor ein mafrishin klal, to lo kapte alif neiver, because they don't worry about lif neiver, so they'll sell you the produce even without taking trumas and maisers off. Afagav dein chashudin ala gezel, well, what about gezel? You're stealing from the kohanim, you're stealing from the levim, you're stealing from the aniyim, right? So what about that? Lo chashiv luhu gezel. They don't think this is gezel. Davi mamon shein lo tovim. Because it's money that has no claimant. If it's money that has no claimant, they don't believe that that's gezel, and so they didn't worry about it. Right? And then, also, he goes, if you look towards the end of that line, it says, va'od, chosmach lo hufrash. Till you've separated out the chumos and maestros, ain't odoma luhu gezel. It doesn't feel like gezel to them. Shadayim lo nitchayiv litain the coin levi. Because you still haven't been obligated to give the coin levi until you've separated it out. And then he mentions the last thing, that there's so mech on the drasha that it's for achila and not for mechira when you have to take off trumot and maisrot. So, but the idea is that because yes, well, partly motzei chaver l'raya, but if any kohen comes, right, you can say that it belongs to the shevet, right? So no kohen himself can come and make a claim on behalf of the whole shevet, right? So he can never come and say, this is my money or this belongs to me, because it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to his shevet. And that's true with the aniyim also. No ani can show up and say, this belongs to me, because it belongs to the whole group of aniyim. And therefore, he's not a representative. Nobody appointed him as the representative of all the aniyim over all the kohanim. Right. So now the next word in the brisa is umeichal, and he redeems it. According to Rashi, this is the Meiser Sheni. The Meiser Sheni, he says that the part that's going to be Meiser Sheni, I poda it on the money I have in my house to be meichal. Tosfos disagrees over here and says that that doesn't work. And the word meichal over here really means matchil. Then he can start drinking it. Or the Rabbeinu Tam says mahil, that it means to be mosaic. You can then dilute the wine and drink it. Why? Because Tosfos says that's the difference between Ame Aretz and a Kuti. In Ame Aretz, by the Ame Aretz, there's a suffix. We assume Rove Ame Aretz mastering him. Therefore, when you want to be Meichel, we say, fine, you can be Meichel. You can just point out where the location of the Meister Sheni is. That's what you do by an Ame Aretz. You say Meister Sheni Bedromo or Meister Sheni Bitzvono, and then you put that on the money. That's not the case here. Here, you have to literally take off the Meister Sheni. Why? Because by Kutin, it's not that Rove Meister and him, they are not Maaser at all. So there's no, it's not just a Chashash. It's literally, you must take off Meisters. And that's what Tosa says. After Shabbos, you're going to have to take off the Meister Rishon and take off the Meister Sheni physically. You're going to have to actually take them out. So therefore, you can't say Mecha that you can redeem them, because you can't redeem them until you physically remove them from the Tevel. Only when we say the Tevel is Suffolk, like by Ame Aretz, can you say that you don't have to separate it and you can redeem it. But if it's Vadai, Chayv and Meister Sheni, you have to separate the Meister Sheni. So then, Beshote Miyad, Devei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you can drink. Once you say that in the future, the stuff that I'm going to take off in the future, you assign it, then you can drink from that moment forward. That's the das of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, all three of them believe, Osrin, say you can't do it. So what do you see over here? This is a case of what? Tole B'dat Atzmo. He controls the Afrusha in the future. He controls what he's going to be mafresh in the future, and yet, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Let's play Breira. Doesn't work. The Breira here doesn't work. We don't say Hufra Davarla Mafreya. We don't say Hufra Davarla Fair that he took off the Maestros and took off the Chumus, and everybody drank before was Chulin. We don't say that. But on the other hand, right, Tole B'dat Achayrim, when it comes to relinquishing control, it play Breira. Rabbi Yehuda does have a case of Breira. What's that? It's none. Mahi Ba'otana Yamim. What's the status of the woman during that time period? So what's the case here? The case here is where a person says that I am divorcing you mehayom, right? If I die from this sickness, or if I die from the ailment that I am facing right now. So the person who is saying mehayom, right, says that now, from today, you will be divorced if I die from this sickness. So that's a case of Breira, right? Because later on, we're going to figure out if he died or not. And you can't give a get lachar misa. Get can't happen after misa. So therefore, tzuvra davar that mehayom, from today, that was the case that he was divorced. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hari hei ke'eshet ish techol devareh, that she is an eshet ish for everything. What does that mean, she's an eshet ish? If she's mezaneh, there's a punishment of chenek. And if she's married to a kohen, she can eat truma. Uluchi ma'it, and when the husband dies, havegita, her get comes into effect. So over here, Rashi, in the Gemara later on, where this in Ayin Gimel, where this Gemara is brought up, and Tosfos mentions here also that Rashi does that later on, explains the case differently. Rashi here says it's Me'ayom, and that the Mafreya, he goes from today, she becomes divorced. But that's a huge problem, because if she's divorced from today, how could it be that you punish her Misafik, you give her Misa Misafik, how can she eat Truma, and there's a possibility the Mafreya, she's going to be divorced from the Kohen? We won't let that. So Tosfos explains that Me'ayom doesn't mean literally from today, but it means Sha'achad Lifnei Mita. From a moment before I die, this get goes into effect, right? From at the moment that he dies. So that's what the Hufra Darla Freya. If I die from this sickness, then Hufra Darla, that the moment before I died, this get went into effect. So you see over there, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? It's lay Breira. So you see Rabbi Yehuda differentiates between when he has control, like the case of Chumos and Maestros, and there he says there's no Breira, as opposed to our case over here by the Gitin, where he says that there is Breira, that if he dies from this sickness, then we say Huvra Davar, that she's divorced from a moment before the death, or from today, according to Rashi. So you see, there is such a differentiation. All right, now, I will just point this out in Rashi. It's a very, very important Rashi. If you look here on the left side, and the narrow lines in Rashi, two lines up from the narrow lines in Rashi, says the second word is Vitala. So he says, Vitala Hatanai, when he says that it's going to depend on whether he dies from this sickness or not, Bidat Mishameto V'chayav Tluyim Biado. to the one who controls life and death, meaning that he's giving up his rights to Hashem. That's called Tole V'da'at Achirim. Ukeshemet, when he dies, Amrinin Hubra Davar, that, well, we say that retroactively it's clarified, the Mishat Netina Harayu Lemut, Micholizeh. At the time that he gave it, he was ra'oi to die from the sickness. Avad they get, Ma'ishato, it's a get from that moment. Shamanat Kin Masro, because that's why he gave it. Ve'ein Zeh Keshart Na'im Shadam Matne Beget, Shiadola Kaimam. So how do you differentiate between a tnai, a condition in a get, versus breira? When is something considered a tnai, and when is something considered breira? So Rashi says, well, when it's a tnai, it's when I have control in order to execute on that tnai. Vidato l'kaimam, and your intent is to fulfill that tnai. Ukshe matna lehem, ushnit kaima tnai, have you get them a freya? The haftam lav time mushum breirahu. There it has nothing to do with breira. It has to do with the fact that this is a get effective today, assuming that all the conditions are met. Those conditions could be met because it's in my control. Of a hacha to ein biyado, in our case where it's out of his control, ubishata tnai hu safek, and the time he makes the condition, it's a complete safek, whether it's going to happen or not. I mean, it's not that I intend to do this, or I want to do this. It's a complete safek. He has no idea whether he will die from this ailment or not. But tnai mitzkayem me'alav, and the condition is fulfilled by itself. Yilav mishum breira lo have a get michayim. Without breira, it would not be a get from the time that he's alive. So Rashi differentiates between breira and tnai has to do with two issues. One is, I have control, right? I know I'm the one who can control that it's the outcome. And number two is, I know at that moment what my intention is with regard to that tnai. As opposed to breira, where we use breira is where it's not in my control. I'm relinquishing control. And number two is, it's a suffix. I have no idea what the outcome will be. So now, what Rashi doesn't address, Tosfos brings down Rashi, and he disagrees on a nuance in Rashi, but in the end he says, Kedivrei Rashi Kein Hu, that Rashi is right in this instance. Now, the question you have is, for instance, what happens if the husband creates a condition that his wife has to do? So, for instance, he says, this get will be a good get if you don't visit your father for 30 days. So, in one sense, he's relinquished control, but in another sense, it's with someone who has control. So in that instance, is that a tnai, a condition, or is that breira? From Rashi, it's not so clear to me that, right, it fits into either category perfectly that he established. Right? Rashi has two categories. One where it's in my control, one where I've relinquished control and there's a total suffix. But there is an in-between case where you can have where, for instance, the woman is the one who has to fulfill the tnai, because then she's in control. It's not in your control, but somebody has control over it. And it's not necessarily a suffix, because the woman has in mind at that moment whether she's going to execute or not execute on it. So that's an in-between case, which Rashi does not seem to address over here. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Amar le Rav Misharshia the Rava. Hi, Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Misharshia says to Rava also, guess what? Rabbi Shimon also has this distinction. The Tola B'data Atzmo let le Breira. Then when it comes to a Breira condition where it's still in his control, then it doesn't work. But when he relinquishes control, there is breira. So tola b'dat atzmo let le breira. What's the case where he believes that when he's tola b'dat atzmo, there is no breira? That's hadamran. This is the case above that we said by the kuti, the yang kutim, because there were three opinions. There was what? Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon all believed that that there is no breira in that case. What's the case of tola b'dat achirim itle breira? What's the case where he relinquishes control where he believes there is breira? The Tanya of Ebraisa, Hareini Boalech Al Menachir Te'abo. Right, I'm going to have Bia with you, and that Bia will be our Kiddushin, assuming that your father's okay with this. So the first opinion of the Tanakam is Afapi Shalaratza'av Mikudeshet. Right, the Tanakam believes that even if the father does not acquiesce here, there is Kiddushin. Why? Because Ein Adam Oseh Bilato Bilat Znut. Nobody makes his Bia Bilat Znut, and that's the possibility if the father rejects it. And therefore, when he did it, he was gomer belibo the kedushin gemurim. He left the tnai out, and he was gomer das the kedushin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon ratzav mikudeshet lo ratzav einu mikudeshet. That the tnai stands, right? The tnai stands. Oh, what do you see from this? You see that Rabbi Shimon believes there is breiro over here. This bia will be determined to whether to be a bia of kedushin or a bia of znut. I'll pee the decision of the father. So that's the case of Tola B'dat Achirim. It's totally out of his control. He's relinquishing control of the outcome to the father. And what does he see from this? Rabbi Shimon holds there is Breira in that case. So you see both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon make this distinction of Tola B'dat Achim and Tola B'dat Atzmo. So that's Abaye's issue with the answer that Rabbi Yehuda gave to Rabbi Oshi on the original question of our Gemara today. Rava came along and said, well, why is it a question? Maybe there's no differentiation between Tola B'dat Achim and Tola B'dat Atzmo. So that comes along, we bring two proofs against Rava from Rav Misharshia, one for Rabbi Yehuda and one for Rabbi Shimon, that there is such a distinction in Breira between Tola B'dat Atzmo and Tola B'dat Achirim. So Amarlei, so what does Rava respond? Ben the Rabbi Yehuda, Ben the Rabbi Shimon, Loshna, Tola B'dat Atzmo, Loshna Tola B'dat Achirim, Itlehu Breira. They hold a Breira, it doesn't matter if they relinquish control, don't relinquish control. Oh, what are you going to do with the case of Yein Kutim? Yein Kutim is a case where it's Tola B'dat Atzmo, and we say no Breira. It says Asurin. So what are you going to do in that case? If you say everybody holds a Breira, why doesn't it work by the Yein Kutim? V'hotam kedetani tahima. There, the reason, as we have said, and this is throughout Shas, the Gemara gives the same reason every time it brings it down to proof of Huvra. Amru lo Rabbi Meir, iatamoda shem yibaka not. Aren't you afraid that what happens, he'll drink from it, assuming that he's going to take off the Trumans and Mises later on, and then the flask or the barrel that the wine is will break, and then all the wine will fall out, and then he will not be able to be Mafish Trumas and Maestros. If he can't be Mafish Trumas and Maestros, that what he drank originally was Tevel. So that's what the problem is. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, it's not a problem of Breira. They're worried that maybe the flask will burst or break, or the barrel or flask will break, and therefore he will not be able to take it off in the future. Benim says this, Shotet Valim Lemafreya, and then he'll end up drinking, right, wine. That's Tevel Lemafreya. So what is Rabbi Meir's response to them? Amar lahem, l'shigibaka. When it breaks, we'll worry about it. I mean, Rabbi Meir says, I'm not choshesh for this barrel or the flask breaking. That's an unusual circumstance. If that's an unusual circumstance, I'm going to think that Breira works here by Yein Kutim. But that's Rabbi's answer. Rabbi's answer is that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold a Breira. They would allow Yein Kutim to work with Breira, except for this chashash of the Shema Yivaka note. We're worried about the fact that the flask might break or the barrel might break, and that will ruin this whole Breira case, because in the end, you won't be mafresh the Trumas of Maestros, and then he would have eaten Tvalim Limafreya, right, originally to work. There's some interesting Tosfos on the previous Amud. He draws some distinctions. I'll just read you some of the quick distinctions, because the Tosfos has to deal with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas. According to Rav, if they hold a Breira throughout Shas, what do you do with exceptions or cases where they don't believe that? So one of the issues Tosfos talks about that Achim Shechilku, brothers who divide up. We just had this on the previous, right, in the previous daf. That what Achim Shechilku are either Lukuchot Haim or Yorshim Haim. So we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Karabasi, and he says it's a Suffolk. So why does he hold it's a Suffolk? If he holds a Breira, then it should be clear that the brothers are Yorshim. So Tosfos makes a Chiluk. Listen to this Chiluk. V'yesh l'chalak bin hocha shemavarer dvarav umatne b'feirush. The difference between when a person makes a condition explicitly, then you can say Breira. But by the Achim Shechuku, she'enu mevarer klum. They don't make any statements. They don't make any declarations. There you don't apply Breira. It's very interesting. Tosfos says you can distinguish. You will apply Breira in instances where it's clear that the person's relinquishing control and putting it into the, you know, the hands of Breira. But if a person never explicitly puts it into the category of Breira, then if Breira is used in that instance, maybe it's a suffix, or maybe you don't hold of Breira. It's one interesting distinction that Tosfos makes over here. And the other one he makes is that by Gittin, that Omer Adavar Litbarer B'Vadai B'Hachi Oyechia Yomut. When a person gives a get, and he says, if I die from this choli or don't die from this choli, there we can apply Breira. Why? Because it's clear that you will either die or not die. The outcome is absolutely clear. There's other cases where if there's a possible outcome which will not be one of the two options in Breira, then that may not be under the category of Breira. Breira might be only where it's clear that there are two options, and those two options must come about. One of the two options, whatever the options are, one of them must be chosen, and there's no other way to go. But if Breira may not work in a case where you give options, and then there's an alternative that neither of the options are triggered, in that case, maybe there is no Breira. And the last thing, the last Chiddush Tosfos points out over here is that Rabbi Yochanan, on the other daf, who said that when Achin are Yorshin, they are considered Lekuchot, right? He says there that Lekuchel, and they have to return the property in the Yovel. Right? Now, if you think about that, now you come up with a situation where unless you had single children, right, nobody would ever have Yerusha. Every Yovel, people would have to give back the property. And nobody would be bringing you Bikurim, because Bikurim only comes from property of Yerusha. You'd have a case where nobody's sitting on the proper property of Yerusha. So it also comes out of the Chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan is the only one who says that it goes back during the Yovel. All the other Amoraim who maybe hold that the Achim are Lekuchotain, nevertheless, they say that it does not go back in the Yovel because that becomes the Yerusha. Even though they're considered Lekuchot, they take on a status of Yerusha and it will not have to return during the Yovel. And that's to avoid the problem that you can never have a possibility where you can never have property that is Yerusha.